Happy Wednesday, everybody. Thank you so much for downloading the Be Our Guest podcast. We're still down at Walt Disney World, but we've got a great listener question show headed right for you today. We're starting off with a question from Jennifer from Orland Park, Illinois, asking about the exact process to upgrade your Magic Your Way package tickets to an annual pass during your vacation. But first, a word from our sponsor, and that's our friends over at virtualmickey.com, home of great iPhone apps like Days to Go, WDW. Days to Go lets you count on the days until that next Walt Disney World vacation with style. Right now, I don't have a countdown going because I'm still down at Old Key West having a great time around Walt Disney World. But as soon as I return home, I'm going to reset this app and use it over and over again, getting ready for Wine and Dine Race Weekend or Marathon Weekend. Not sure which one just yet, but I'll get those awesome pictures. I can customize the text for the event. I can change the colors and more, even get that audio alert each and every day, letting me know I'm one day closer to my favorite place. Download these and other great apps to make your Apple device a Disney device today. They're over at virtualmickey.com.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1199 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and MagicalMouseRadio.com. Happy Wednesday to you. That's right. We're still down at Walt Disney World. At least I am. Still at Old Key West Resort, hanging out with my friends, the Gardeners. We're having a great time wrapping up this epic Walt Disney World and Disney Cruise Line adventure. Can't wait to share. We'll be back again this weekend, so new shows coming your way next week, recapping all the fun that was had on the Be Our Guest podcast cruise and down at Walt Disney World. So joining me today to get ahead a little bit before we head out of town, but to answer your listener questions, as always, we have the co-owner of the Magic for Less Travel, Pam Forrester. Pam, you are in the last few minutes before leaving. How's it going?
I'm ready to go. Like at the beginning, you try to plan and you have all these organizational tools and you're like, I got to do this, this, and this, and then it's all going to go well. And then toward the end, you're like, oh my gosh, I have to do all this. And then at some point you reach kind of a quiet calmness. At least I do. I'm like, oh, well, whatever's packed will come with me. Whatever doesn't, I will either purchase or live without. So anyways, I'm ready. I'm almost at the quiet calmness.
So. But I hate that when everybody's listening to this, I'm almost getting ready to come home. That's not good. I hate the end of my trip. Ugh.
I know. It's horrible. I usually try to extend it while I'm there. So
good call.
I know. I'm like, Steve, I cannot go home.
At least we got Marathon Weekend and probably down before that. So who knows? We'll have to see how the cards fall. All right. Well, let's get to the questions. We teased this one in the ad read at the top. It's from Jennifer. She's in Orland Park, Illinois. I says, hi, BOGP podcast friends. I have a question. I know y'all have answered a million times, but I never retained the answer since the situation never really applied to me. But now it does. Sorry for being a bad student. See, I still get to be a teacher this way because I'm like, how many times have I gone over this? Seriously.
You're going to have to write this 100 times.
That's exactly right. That's it. And here it is. With regards to annual passes, how does the ticket to annual pass upgrade process work? Here's my situation. I have a 7-night trip booked for late January 2018, thanks to Mike, thank you, with a 10-day ticket at the moment. We're also planning to head back to the world for at least 5 days in May. With that said, when I do an upgrade during my January trip or should I do my upgrade during my January trip or when I return in May? If I upgrade in January, I'm going to assume that I do not need to purchase Memory Maker since it's a perk of having the annual pass. Also, what is the ballpark price of the annual pass if I upgrade my current 10-day ticket? According to my English teacher math skills, it looks like the difference may be about $340 a ticket. I love the idea of using the annual pass as leverage with my husband to get us back a few more quick trips during the year. He hasn't caught the Disney bug. That's exactly right. He hasn't caught the Disney bug like I have. Thanks for bringing the Disney magic to listeners each week with the podcast. You guys rock, Jen. Okay, so let me jump in with one, Pam. I'll let you walk her through how this works. The one thing, though, I want to make sure that we don't miss, you have to upgrade in January. You can't wait to May, because what happens is when you have a package and you have Magic Your Way tickets associated with that package, those tickets will expire 14 days after first use. So if you were to wait till May, you would no longer get the value of those 10-day Magic Your Way tickets that are part of the January package. So you have to do this in January. So don't. That's number one. Write that down. January upgrade. Okay, Pam, walk her through how this works and the Memory Maker and all that stuff.
So, right, like Mike said, make sure you do this in January because then you can use the full value of your pass. And what you may want to do, Mike, I don't know whether y'all have done this or not, but you might, if you want to pay more of that annual pass upgrade before you go down, make sure you add something like Hoppers or something like that to it to even boost the value of that ticket even more. That lets you pay a little more of the expense in advance. But all you need to do is, and you can do this on day one, or before the end of the day on the last day of your ticket, you want to go ahead and visit one of the ticket counters, let them know that you want to upgrade your pass, and they will be more than happy to do that for you. They'll be able to just walk you through that process. And you're absolutely right. You will pay the difference between the price of the ticket that you purchased and the price of the annual pass. But you're right. I would absolutely do this as soon as you can because then you have Memory Maker starting. And if you do it on your first day, you'll have Memory Maker from that first day on. So that's a big bonus as well, I think, for the annual passes at this point. I mean, Memory Maker is awesome. It really is. And I'm so glad they gave that with, you know, they made that a benefit of the annual pass. I think so often Disney gets criticized for, oh my gosh, they raised the price of tickets and it ends up being like a $5 or $10 thing. Why wasn't there a big like, yay Disney for like including the Memory Maker? I mean, yeah. I realized there was an expense, you know, associated with that whole thing. But anyways, they should get like a little gold sticker for that one. I'm just saying.
I agree. So. Patrick says he's in we're live on Facebook on our video channel here. And he's saying that he paid about $300 for the upgrade. Again, it depends on what Magic Your Way ticket you have, how close you are to the price of that annual pass. I think that the Platinum Annual Pass, which is kind of your four parks, kind of basic annual pass, comes in at around $829 at the time of recording, something in that ballpark. So you can just take the value of your Magic Your Way tickets and, you know, do a little math there and get that. But you're right. The Memory Maker really makes this something that becomes a no-brainer a lot of times, especially if you have a second trip. You know, it can even work itself out with one trip in a year, depending on if you're staying, you know, if you want some dining discounts, if you want some merchandise discounts, you want Memory Maker. I mean, you just really got to crunch the numbers, but it's a piece of cake. Now, I thought I had a hack, Pam. This is what I thought. And I should have known. You can't get away with this. Somebody's always thought of stuff before me. But I thought, I'm going to wait till the very last day of my 10-day vacation and upgrade those 10-day hoppers to an annual pass. And my day one will start on the last day of my vacation. Doesn't work, right? I know.
It starts on the first. It actually is kind of retro. So even if you did upgrade it on day five, it's your annual pass will actually still start the first day you use the ticket to upgrade. So that's something to consider that. And Nicole has a great point here in the chat that you can go into guest services inside the park or go to Disney Springs because you'll have less lines. And that's true. Although sometimes that Disney Springs one is out the door. Yeah. It's like sometimes I walk in and there's no one there and sometimes there's someone there. But absolutely, guest services inside the park, that's going to be a smaller line for sure. So great advice.
I always have bad luck at Disney Springs with long lines, and the studios has long, like they don't move as quickly over there for some reason. It's smaller, I think. I don't think they have as many cast members.
It's small. The one at Epcot is like luxuriously large.
Yes.
So, and there's spots to wait, and usually someone comes over and talks to you. So that's a great one.
All right, let's get to Adam's question. Hey, Mike, Ricky, and Pam, me and my girlfriend are planning a trip to the world in late September of this year. And we had a question about the delivery of luggage via the Magical Express. On Disney's site, it says that if you arrive between 5 a.m. and 10 p.m., your luggage will be delivered to your room within 3 hours. Our plane arrives at around 8 a.m., so I'm guessing we'll be at our hotel, Pop Century, at around 10 a.m. My question is, since checking into our room wouldn't happen until later in the day, do you have an idea of what the status of our luggage would be? We would love to go check out Disney Springs or go to a park on our arrival day with our carry-on bags, but I don't know if I'd like having our luggage sit in front of our room or something to that effect. Would they keep it in a back room or keep it in the room before we check in? Any insight would be wonderful. Love the podcast and love what you do. Keep it up, Adam. All right, so Pam, walk him through. You're right. Magical Express handles your luggage between 5 a.m. and 10 p.m. Bummer is, for this trip, we landed at 10:55 p.m. We got to handle our own luggage because it's late, but that's not that bad. So walk them through how the luggage gets from your departure city to your resort room.
It's magical.
Well, that too. I mean, yeah, that's right. I mean, it is Magical Express. It's not Basic Express.
So anyways, the good news is when you have those Magical Express tags, or even if you didn't get the tags, because sometimes the tags don't reach you in time, because it's actually weird that they're printed in different locations other than the rest of the Disney documents. But anyways, I won't go into all the details on that. But when you have those tags on your luggage, or if you have given Magical Express your claim tickets for your luggage, then Disney will pull your luggage and ship it to your resort. The good news is it does not sit outside the door of your room. You don't have to worry about that. They will either keep it in the luggage storage area, or it will magically appear in your room even before you get there. So that's something to think about too. That's a very cool feature of that. Now, if you're a little worried about the process, or you're not so sure how you feel about it, you can actually go pull your luggage off the carousel, take it with you down to Magical Express, and then you know it's already at the resort. And I would suggest too, on the day that you arrive, you said you're going to go ahead to Disney Springs, perhaps. Mm-hmm. Stop at the resort and check your the carry-on luggage that you don't want to carry with you as well. I mean, they're happy to hold on to that luggage for you, and then you're not one of those folks who's dragging a piece of luggage at Disney Springs or on the buses or things like that. That's challenging. So Disney's happy to hold all that luggage for you. They actually have huge luggage storage areas at each of the resorts. It's kind of climate controlled, so you don't have to worry so much about electronics and other things like that. So that's a great option, and enjoy.
Yeah, so I was going to say was drop that checked bag stuff. Yes. You don't want to deal with that while you're at Disney Springs, because then, you know, you're liable to leave it. It's kind of like that morning of getting off the cruise where you have to take your bags to breakfast. You know, it's like you got a bag under your table, you got a bag under the chair.
I hate that.
Along the walls. I know, it's such a nightmare. So yeah, go by Pop Century.
Hate that too.
It's like an obstacle course for them. So yeah, don't take your check luggage. Just go by Pop Century. Let them know, you know, our room's not ready. Can we check our luggage? Absolutely. And then, you know, you'll be squared away. And that's how you need your vacation to start. You don't want to, you know, that's hassle. And Disney really does everything they can to take the hassle out of any part of your vacation.
For sure.
All right, Christy's got the next question. Mike, Ricky, and Pam, longtime listener. I enjoy listening to the show in between Disney trips and have turned all my Disney friends in Nashville onto the show. We love that. My question is a tough one for me. We're planning on a grandparents trip in January. I was really worried about my dad coming off bilateral knee replacement, but he's trucking 5+ miles a day now. Shoot, most people can't do 5+ miles a day. I'd say he's definitely trucking. Now I'm looking at having hip arthroscopic surgery for a severe hip impingement. I'm wanting to hold off on surgery until October, as we have a big Disney trip planned for September. I will be on crutches 8 weeks and won't be back to CrossFit type workouts for 3 to 4 months. The end of January will be right at 3 months. I refuse to ride on a scooter, but worried about all of the walking. I'm also worried about standing for long periods of time. Is there any other option for non-permanent disabilities, or should we postpone the trip? I was literally in tears most of the day yesterday once it finally sunk in that I needed surgery. My dreams of becoming a lizard are gone, as I've had two surgeons tell me never to run again. Hopefully my other hip will hold up and I won't be looking at surgery on my other hip. Thanks for all you do prepping the listeners for their time at Disney. I look forward to each podcast. Keep up the great work. Christy's in Nashville. She says, otherwise known as Smashville, go Predators. They had a really good season. I know you're a Penguins fan, but they had a good run there down in Smashville. I got to give them credit. And you know what? Don't give up on the dream of being a lizard. We have a lot of lizards that just walk, and I'm one of those. Absolutely. A lot of the times. I was sick all last summer. Couldn't run a lick. So lizards cheer, lizards run, lizards walk. So definitely, Christy, you're a lizard if you want to be. So make it happen. So what would you give her, you know, as far as the thing I see? There is a lot of walking, but she brought up one of the things I was going to say. There's a lot of standing at Disney, and standing wears me out just as much as running and walking. I don't know.
Yeah, it is. And you know what? I say don't, like, why refuse to do the scooter? Seriously. Disney has made so many accommodations and advancements in this area, I think, in particular, because there are so many of the queues now accommodate the scooter. I think if you spend a little time getting to know how to drive it and use it like that, I think that you'll find that it's really something that you want to use, need to use. It's something, you know, when a guest comes to us and says, you know, I'm thinking about getting a wheelchair for my mom or my dad or for myself because I know that this is going to be a challenge. We're always like, if you're thinking about it, do it. It's easy to do. Now, I will say the wheelchair that folks have to push, I think, really causes kind of a pain for the rest of the folks in your party who are pushing you. So that's what makes the ECVs in particular something that you want to use. And explore some of the offsite vendors. Don't rent one at the parks because that's going to be so much more expensive. We've worked with Walker Mobility for years and years and years, and we have never had anything but great service for us and our guests in that space. So consider one of those offsite rental locations for the scooters and other things like that. They provide a great service. They're there on site practically. I mean, you know, anytime if you would have a challenge, Walker's right there to help with that. But it's a great service and you're going to save yourself just a ton of money. I mean, I forget how much the scooters are per day at Disney World, but it's almost like you're renting 3 or 4 days for the price of one that it would cost at Disney. So consider that one, especially if you don't want to delay your trip. Here's the thing that I always tell people. You know, I realize that sometimes you do have to delay a trip because of X, Y, or Z, but if you cannot delay it, you never know what's going to happen. Seize that moment and take the trip. You will never regret doing that. So,
yeah, I 100% agree because the thing is, you know, it sounds like you go hardcore when you go down there because you love Disney. You like seeing as much as you can. We all want to get the most we can out of every Disney day, every Disney vacation. Yeah. But when you have a circumstance, it's going to slow you down. You know, you're not going to be able to go at your normal pace. Many times when people come off experiences like this, like my wife told me this, and I remember it myself because obviously I wasn't going to leave her in the dust and go 100 miles an hour and leave her sitting on a bench. When she was pregnant with Mallory, we really did slow down. But you know what? It was a cool trip. You know, even though we didn't get in near as many attractions, we had so many we saw so many cool things just sitting around, people watching, having, you know, longer meals. Spending more time by the pool. It was one of the best trips we ever had, even though quantifiably we didn't do near as much. The memories, we still talk about that trip more than others. And so I think this can be an unforeseen opportunity, I think, in a way too, don't you think?
Absolutely. Look, your Disney trip is so much more than a checklist of things you're going to check off and do. If you approach it that way, I think that you miss so much of what makes Disney Disney. You're there to have the experiences either by yourself or with the friends and family that you're with. And that's not something that you can put on a list and check off. I mean, at the end of the day, it's great to say, well, I did 25 attractions today. But wouldn't you really rather say, you know what? I had the best time.
Yeah, exactly.
We didn't do anything. We sat around and people watched. And then we got a Dole Whip. And then we did ride Small World. But then, you know, whatever. And then we did the Tiki Birds. And then we had a Fast Pass that we blew off because we didn't want to do it. We were just hanging out with friends. And then we got whatever. I mean, that best day ever comes to mind. So go and enjoy. I think every circumstance allows you to experience the magic in a different way.
100%. Yeah. Look at this as an opportunity, not a setback. You know, it's just, it's a different way to see Disney. So, all right, Aaron's got the next question. It's quick. Aaron's up in Jersey, says, hey, Mike, Ricky, and Pam, I just signed up for the 2018 Princess Half Marathon. This is not only going to be my first Disney run, but my first run ever. I'm beyond excited for it and full of questions, but I'll limit it to one for now. What are your guys' suggestions for where to stay? I was thinking Boardwalk for its proximity to Epcot. Also, when should I book? I keep hearing that I need to get booked fast, but the dates aren't open yet on the Disney sites. This was a couple weeks ago. Thanks, guys. Aaron. So first of all, book now, because those Run Disney weekends, book quickly. And she's on the right track. I would look at an Epcot area resort for Princess. What do you say?
I agree. When you stay in the Epcot area, it makes everything so much easier, especially, I don't know exactly, some of the runs finish in Epcot and then you can just walk through and go back to your resort. That makes it easy. In the morning, it's a little challenging for some races start at Epcot and you can't walk through Epcot to get to the starting line, but they do provide transportation that gets you to those locations. And I think just any of the Epcot resorts, that's such a fantastic location. You can walk in not only to Epcot, but also to Hollywood Studios. And you're also there at the boardwalk, too. And then you have an excuse to eat at Flying Fish.
Yeah, you
do.
Well, and you got Ample Hills. I mean, come on now.
And Ample Hills, right. So, I mean, I think we gave you 20 great reasons to stay at an Epcot resort. But yeah, absolutely. And book now. 2018 we had more requests for 2018 before it was released than we have, I think, ever had in the past. So that's something you want to book now and take advantage of. We have a great special running for 2018 bookings. We only run it actually for a month after the new year's bookings are released. And because that gives everyone, you know, the same access to the special, but we double the amount of the gift card we're giving and we lower the amounts that you need to, the package price needs to qualify for. So consider that. I think they're great bonuses. Who doesn't want a Disney gift card? Just saying.
That's right. And you guys are such big fans of NASA. It does end on July 20th, the day that we landed on the moon in 1969. So keep that in your mind, July 20th. Get it booked by them. But sooner the better, because again, remember, there's no risk. The deposit's always refundable. I tell that to everybody because, man, once those rooms are gone, they're gone. You know, and if you want to land in a place like Boardwalk, say, for a wine and dine race weekend or a princess or something like that, there's a lot of people thinking that same thing and they're getting on the ball. Like, you just can't wait like you used to. You used to be able to say, oh, I'll do it 6 months out or I'll do it 3 months out. You know, the math is changing on those things. You got to get it ASAP because there's just more people wanting to experience these things and more people are being proactive because, you know, because of the popularity of these events, Disney's forcing that on us. So don't be one of the late folks that it's hard to get a room that where you want to be. You don't want to, you know, settle for your second choice. Go for what you're looking for.
Yep.
All right, Laura's got the next question. Good afternoon, Mike, Pam, and Ricky. I've talked my husband into a Walt Disney World trip for May of 2018. We've been to the world many times and every time have gotten the dining plan. It worked for us in the past. However, the last time we went in 2015, it seemed our trip revolved around table service meals and ate, no pun intended, into our park time. I see what she did there. And it was just a lot of food. My daughters don't eat a ton and have more of an adult taste in food. She isn't a fan of the typical Disney kids meal choices. My younger one is pretty agreeable, though. So my question is, do you think the dining plan is worth it anymore? We do like to do a lot of character dining. The places we'd probably try to get ADRs at would be Crystal Palace, Cinderella's Royal Table, Hollywood and Vine for the play and dine lunch, as well as the Hoop-Dee-Doo review. It's a must every trip. At the time of our trip, the girls will be 8.5 and 3.5. Appreciate all the fabulous work you guys do every week. Keep it up. Mike, have a great last few days of teaching and good luck in the future. Laura's up in Boston, Massachusetts. All right, so I appreciate that, Laura. Thanks so much. So the dining plan has changed a little bit for 2018. They're going in 2018 in May. They have added the option to get that alcoholic drink if you like at the table service meals. Pam, what do you say to this? I mean, because they're focusing on character dining, so this seems like it's a good match, especially for two kids under, you know, 10 and under or 9 and under.
Absolutely. So just because you have the dining plan doesn't mean that needs to dictate your trip for you. And I will tell you the way that I typically work when I have the dining plan or anything, because, you know, at some point during the day, we're going to eat, right?
And so, yes, you are.
anything. So I look at, I kind of set my schedule and look at where we're going to be each day. And that helps me choose where to stick in those. So like on your Magic Kingdom day, at some point during the day, you're going to want to eat at Crystal Palace. Now to help kind of reduce the amount of time or the way that that impacts your trip, maybe you want to have a late lunch at Crystal Palace or a very early dinner, because those are times when the parks are kind of busy and then you'll still be able to see the nighttime entertainment. And actually, when you think about it, one of the character dining experiences, especially when it's a buffet, is honestly going to take you about the same time that a counter service meal would take in the Magic Kingdom. I mean, just think about it, the waiting in the line, the getting your food, all of that really takes a long period of time. In Crystal Palace, you sit down, boom, go up to the buffet, get your stuff, the characters come around. I mean, you know, it couldn't be much quicker than that.
Yeah, so, sit down, get your food, Tigger Poo Eeyore, boom, you're out of there. You're got a belly full of food.
That's exactly it. So when you're eating at meals like the ones that you described, those are all covered by the dining plan, and it's really a slam dunk in your case. That's going to work for you. It's actually going to save you money. Just work on your itinerary maybe a little bit and incorporating that dining plan. Make it work for you. Don't feel like, you know, I have to eat at standard times or I have to eat at standard places. Since you're going to be dining in character meals, that dining plan is going to work for you and it's going to save you money. So,
all right, good stuff. I agree. It's good. It's a good fit with that dynamic. When you have kids and you have character meals, that's going to usually benefit you. So,
yeah.
Jacob's got the next question. Hi, Ricky, Pam, and Mike. No, Mike, you don't always get to be first. You know, I could have read that in the other order, though, because I'm the only one that sees it, but I'm honest. I'm planning a trip to the world with my parents in February 2018. I'm a relative. See, look at that. Who's the listener who's going to Princess? Somebody else is booking your room right now. Get on it. They're going to get your room. Jacob's already probably got his room booked at the boardwalk. Anyway, I'm a relatively new listener to your show, and I'm learning so much about what Disney has to offer down in Florida. Thanks for all you do. Here are my questions. He has three. We're planning on a 5-day trip, 2 days for travel and 3 days in the parks. We're having trouble deciding between 2 days in the Animal Kingdom and one in the Magic Kingdom or 1 day in each Epcot, Animal Kingdom, and Magic Kingdom. We were last in Disney in 2003 and enjoyed Epcot, but it seems many of the attractions are outdated. The only thing we would really miss out on not going to Epcot is riding Soarin'. Is one ride really enough reason to add a third park to our itinerary? Is there enough to do at Animal Kingdom with all the new things opening up to fill 2 full days? We also want to do some resort hopping and time at Disney Springs. All right, so stop there. It's a good question. So should he do 2 days at Animal Kingdom, one at Magic Kingdom, or Epcot, Animal Kingdom, Magic Kingdom? How should he do his 3 days? What would you do? He hasn't been since 2003.
I can't imagine not going to Epcot. I'm just going to say this. I'm like, what? So here's the things. Here's the big pluses, I will say. I get that maybe the front of Epcot is a little outdated. Maybe you could, though, call it nostalgic.
It's retro. I call it retro. You know, Living with the Land is a retro attraction. Takes you back to the
80s. Absolutely. Futureland. I will. I am... in particular, love Living with the Land. Stick me on Living with the Land and I'm a happy girl.
I just love the narration. I love the waterfall. I love it all.
I do too. I like the smell.
Yes.
Everything about it.
People tossing down food from Garden Grill. You know, maybe you're getting a sweet potato or something. I don't know.
Yes, right. So I love that. There's still something even about Ellen's Energy Adventure, even as old as that is and what, you know, all of that. I don't know. Plus it's such a great place to take a nap.
No, don't
I
think say that's that. That's why it's going away. I had this conversation with Ricky. She always says it's a great place to take a nap. You know what? That's why they're changing it to Guardians of the Galaxy. They're going to flip you upside down 7 times.
You need a good place to take a nap.
It's called your resort bed. Anyway, go ahead.
So anyways, but think about, even in the Imagination Pavilion, they actually recently switched the movies there, the Pixar movies or the Disney movies that are there that are showing in that theater. So that's something new to take. I do get that the front of Epcot feels a little retro. There are still things that I tend to love about it, and I hope that you might love them too. But also the countries. I think that the opportunities there for the whole family are just fantastic. If you have kids, you know, you have the ability to do the little, it's not Kim Possible anymore. It's the...
is it Agent P?
Agent P, yes. The Agent P adventure, which is retro and fun. But they allowed you to use your own phone instead of the flip phone.
You know what, though? It's so retro that, like, they've replaced Kim Possible with Agent P, and Agent P is actually off the air, too. And he's been off the air for, like, 5 years. The old,
I know. I was glad when they got rid of the flip phones. But anyways, that, you can do that. You have the coloring, the KidCot stations at each of the countries. I think just exploring each country. You have Frozen Ever After. I mean, hello? That's a hot ticket in Epcot. But I think there's just a lot of things to really enjoy. There's so many opportunities to enjoy good food, good drinks, good snacks in Epcot. And you end the night with illuminations. So if it were me, I would pick one of each. I would visit one of each. I really think, although Animal Kingdom has so many new things to see, I think it's going to be challenging, especially for someone who hasn't been there in a while, to spend 2 full days there.
I agree.
I would pick one of each.
Some famous podcaster once said, variety is the spice of life. So let's do 3 parks here. Because again, you got World Showcase, you got Illuminations, you got Soarin', Frozen Ever After. Spaceship Earth's classic. You know, I think everybody needs to experience that, even if you did it back in 2003. So, yeah, go to all three parks. All right, number two.
I agree. Just the music.
Exactly.
It's like kind of a happy place.
So. I think, too, at Animal Kingdom, if you're doing 2 full days, which you can totally do now with Pandora, I think is not that you would get bored with the park, but you might be itching for something totally different. Epcot still is something totally different. So,
yeah,
switch it up. All right, number two, my mom and I will both be using Disney's DAS system. My mom uses a scooter to get around, and I can't stand for long in the hot sun. How does this service differ from FastPass? How can they be used together most effectively to maximize the magic? How does it work if two people in the same family have a DAS card? All right, Pam, so let's talk about that real quick, about how DAS works, because basically it's not a front of the line pass, but it's more of a alternate place to wait so that you're not experiencing the long wait in the queue or where it's more stressful for that situation, correct?
Right. And I will caution you too, that just because you're in a scooter does not typically qualify you for the DAS pass anymore. It's really not to deal with mobility issues. It's to deal with other issues. And here's the great thing about Disney is you go there and explain how you may need an accommodation and they will help you with that process. So, but just to explain a little bit about how DAS works is, you do use it in conjunction with FastPass. So go ahead and make FastPass for the attractions that you want to experience during that time. And in addition, what you will do is visit guest services and they'll take your picture if appropriate and issue that pass. And then you'll be able to make additional kind of, so if the wait for, let's say, one of the attractions is 1 hour, what you'll do is basically get in a virtual queue for that attraction. You can only do one at a time. And then when you go and experience that attraction, you can go and get in the virtual line for another attraction. So it doesn't eliminate the wait. It just allows you to, as Mike said, wait in a different area. So if Space Mountain has a 90-minute wait, then you'll be able to experience that attraction when the 90 minutes is up. So,
yep. And the way you would use that with FastPass is you would schedule your FastPasses just like a traditional guest would. And you schedule those and then you fill in with the DAS. You know, like you just go there and, hey, I want to stand by this. Because basically you're still standing by. You're just not standing in the queue. You can go do something else or rest until that time comes up and then return to the attraction with little to no wait. Kind of like a FastPass.
Absolutely.
Good luck with that. All right, number three. We're planning to stay at Coronado Springs Resort. What information do you have on the construction progress at this resort? When is the entire project expected to be completed? Finally, if you had a guess, where will the construction progress be in February 2018, and how will this affect our stay? Thanks for all of your great Disney World content, and I look forward to many more shows to come. Your friend, Jacob. All right, so Coronado Springs, I would not hesitate to stay here at all right now. It's kind of hard to look into the crystal ball because Disney doesn't give us, like, this is what it's going to look like in September and this is what it's going to look like in December. We can guess. It's kind of like the Pop Century refurbishment that's going on right now. A lot of people are wanting to know, am I going to have a refurb room if I request the 50s or if I'm in the 70s or that kind of thing? You know, you really don't know, but you can kind of look at the past and try to make a good guess of the future. You know, the thing is, Disney does everything possible to disrupt the guest experience as little as possible. They do not want bad publicity from a bad stay. And if they have a lot going on, they're going to have a lot of angry guests that they're going to have to worry about. Caribbean Beach right now, of course, this summer is going through extensive refurbs, but Disney's been proactive and offered Disney gift cards in the past. They are closing off areas that would even be remotely close to being a huge problem with sound and heavy machinery and stuff like that. So, Pam, what would you say for February 2018, somebody looking to stay at Coronado?
So I think the Coronado construction is going to impact guests so much less than Caribbean Beach. Caribbean Beach, actually, this is one of the times, this is the most I've ever seen it really impact a guest, was the way that the Caribbean Beach has, just because all the restaurants were shut down and things like that. Now, Disney did make accommodations to deal with that, and they did that in the best way possible. So that's something to think about. But Coronado is actually a different project altogether. They're actually adding different accommodations, a tower in one of the locations. So what they have done is kind of blocked off the rooms that are most impacted by that. But when, you know, it's just like if you live somewhere or you're in a neighborhood and someone's building a house a couple of houses down, it doesn't really impact you that much. And it isn't really impacting the guests there. Everything in the resort is still open. The pool area, all of the restaurants and more they're redoing the rooms. And if you visit the Magic for Less Travels Facebook page, we have a great, I walk you through the new rooms because I had the opportunity to stay there just a little bit. And I will tell you, I was very impressed with the rooms. I mean, the changes that are going on, I don't know when those accommodations will be complete throughout the resort, but you can always request. And remember, it's just a request, one of the renovated rooms. But the things that I saw in there that were happening in there are fantastic. I love the changes that Disney is doing to the rooms. I know that some guests have feel like, well, they're not as Disney. Well, these were as Disney. They really featured the Three Caballeros in a very classy and cool way. But then they upgraded the resorts to have the amenities that people sometimes expect to have in a hotel when they're, you know, at a certain level. Added more USB ports, added, you know, just upgraded features altogether. And I think that that's important. So Disney's on the right track here. I really feel that. They're doing a good job. They're taking guest needs into consideration. And I don't see the construction impacting you that much. As far as looking into the crystal ball about where they'll be in that construction, I don't know. But, you know, I think that as we get closer and closer, you'll be able to see that.
Absolutely. I would not hesitate to say that. It's a great resort, great location, great amenities. It's awesome. I love Coronado. Great. All right, last question of the day. It's for from Christy. She says, hello, Mike, Pam, and Ricky. I'm planning a very short trip to the world from May 17th to the 20th with my husband. We'll be spending one day at Disney Springs, one at the Magic Kingdom, and then on our last day, I want to hit all four parks in order to experience a few attractions that we've never done. We're going to have breakfast at Be Our Guest and maybe ride one attraction at the Magic Kingdom, then head to Hollywood Studios for Toy Story Mania, Muppet Vision 3D, and Launch Bay. Around lunchtime, go to Epcot for Flower and Garden and World Showcase, then Animal Kingdom for all the nighttime festivities. You better eat your Wheaties. Well, you're going to breakfast to Be Our Guest. Just ask for a side of Wheaties with your Danish or whatever. My wonderful husband, while not a huge Disney fan, lets me drag him around because he knows how happy it makes me. But this might be a lot even for him. What I need your help with is transportation on this day. We'll have a rental car and we're staying at Caribbean Beach. Would you drive to the parks this day, use the normal Disney bus system, or purchase the day pass for the express bus, which I believe is about $20 a person? I don't mind the money if it would save a lot of time and keep my husband's annoyance at bay. Thanks for the help and giving us a taste of Disney magic with each podcast, Christy. This one's a no-brainer, Pam, but what do you say?
Express pass.
Yes, totally. I mean, this is made for this. Your husband, that'll be the best ever. He'll, because the thing is, the security is a lot lighter that way too. That knocks that out too.
For sure. It will. And it'll be a challenge for you in picking your fast passes because you're only going to be able to choose them at one park prior to the day that you're there. And, you know, you'll have to use some before you can pick some more. So that will be a challenge. But yeah, the express pass is going to be the way to go. I've heard so many positive reviews on this service. Lots of people who are park hopping are using this. And Disney, this is really in response to guests' needs. People wanted to find a way to park hop more conveniently, and this does it. And really, when you look at the big picture, it's a small price to pay. So
100%
time is money,
agree.
Folks.
That's right.
Another time is money.
Yeah, they get you. But you know what? That's going to save you a lot of your sanity because that's going to be a super long day. You're gonna be tired, and that bus service just knocks it out. All right. Well, Christy, thanks so much for the email. Thanks, everybody, for the emails. We appreciate those so much. Keep those coming to mike@brguestpodcast.com, and we'll answer those as soon as possible. Don't forget, today's show brought to you by virtualmickey.com, home of great iPhone apps like Days to Go WDW and Theme Park News Disney Edition. So you probably have an Apple device right there in your hand, and if you don't, you're one of those Android people. And who knows, maybe they'll come to Android soon. But their Apple apps, they're awesome. They give you a touch of Disney right there every time you send a text, get a phone call, post to social media. It's right there where you are. So check them out. Great apps for your Apple device over at virtualmickey.com. Don't forget, the 12-hour live show to benefit Give Kids the World Village is coming up very, very soon. It's on Sunday, July 30th. From 9 a.m. Eastern to 9 p.m. Eastern, we're going to be live here on Facebook, on the Facebook page. We're also going to probably be on Mixler. We're still working on that. We're going to be taking your calls live on Skype, but most importantly, raising money for Give Kids the World. So please do. We're asking everybody to help us out with this. We only have a few days left. Post to social media wherever you go. Let people know that this is going to be happening July 30th. from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern, 12 hours of the live Be Our Guest podcast, taking your calls. We're really focusing on you this year. We're leaving a lot of time in the schedule to take your calls and talk Disney with you. But we'll also have some guests from the Disney community as well. We're going to kind of mix it up. We'll also have an auction going on for awesome, unique items that were donated by our community and a lot of other folks that have just been very generous with us. So it's a day that changes lives. So again, July 30th, 9 to 9. Be here. Make sure you're here. Don't forget that we have a great social media presence, and we're down at Walt Disney World right now, so I guarantee I am tweeting it up right here on Instagram and selfie. So follow the show on Instagram and Twitter at BeOurGuestMike, and of course, always like the Facebook group at facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. And thank you again to everyone who's supporting the show through their Amazon purchases. That helps so very much. Just the next time you're doing some shopping on Amazon, go to BeOurGuestPodcast.com/Amazon. Costs you exactly the same. You still get your Prime benefits. Everything is exactly the same, only we get a little bit of a bounty there from Amazon, and we really appreciate that. So BeOurGuestPodcast.com/Amazon. Thank you so much for that. All right, we're going to get out of here, and we'll be back again on Friday with a very special episode, getting you pumped up for the 12-hour live show. It's one of the shows from a couple years ago that there were so many laughs. It was at the end of the 12 hours. We were crazy. And we had some friends on. And we never got a chance to air this hour of the show. We ran out of time last year. So you don't want to miss episode 1200. It's one for the books. So we'll have that for you on Friday. So for Pam and Ricky, I'm Mike, wishing you a great Wednesday. Thank you, as always, for your support of the show. We appreciate it so very much. Have a great week. Time to get back to work. And we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.